Hello, everybody. I'm Emily Wright, features and global editor of EG, and welcome to this next session, We Get Tech, But Where Is the Value? Joined today by an expert panel, including two Americans, so, you know, very, very multinational. Brandon Weber, co-founder and chief product officer of VTS. Tamara Brisk, France director of WiredScore. Eddie Holmes, chairman of the UK PropTech Association. Aaron Block, co-founder and managing director of Metaprop NYC, and Rachel Kisler, CEO of Kenzie. Thank you so much for joining me today. So I'm going to start off with a question, which is maybe a slightly tricky one. So Eddie, I'm going to come to you on this.
Thanks, Emily.
You're welcome. What do we need to be asking around PropTech to avoid having the same conversation about PropTech?
Well, I think we need to ask more people to come to learn about it. Make a good place to start. clearly, everyone does get tech. This is a redundant panel. I'm sure it's not. Sorry, please, what was the question? I'll answer properly this time. What do we need to be asking about PropTech? I think we need to be asking how do we make it... It's not so much about PropTech, which does need to do better at communicating individual businesses, what it is, what it's all about. We need to find a way to help the property industry understand who these businesses are, what they do, simple things like, are they big enough to partner with? Do they actually do the things they say they do, or is it just a bit of fake it until you make it, which is a trend and indeed, I guess, a way that people are encouraged to talk about their business. And we need to be here. First time, I think we're all agreed this year is a bit of a tipping point for prop tech in the context of this very traditional property industry show. We just need to keep coming here, keep talking, telling the story, keep wearing the badges like Magnus from Dacia's got. Very nice. And it will happen.
Thank you. And Brandon, can I ask you the same question? I mean, I think that you're pretty well known both in the States and in the UK now, and sort of come and spoken at events and spoken about prop tech. But same question, what do we need to be addressing now to avoid having the sort of the same conversation? How do we move it forward?
I mean, for us, I think it's telling success stories. I think it's showing the outcomes and the return on investment and the value proposition that real living institutional owners and real living agents are actually getting out of the tools and the software that we're building. I mean, that's kind of where we're focused now, is just kind of telling the stories of the, you know, of the Brookfields, of the Oxfords, of the CBREs, of the JLLs, because that's actually where the imagination starts to get captured. It's not captured in tech, it's captured in outcomes and new ways of doing things are dramatically better than they used to be.
Great, and Tamara, coming to you, I mean, WiredScore is one of those companies that started in New York, became well known in New York, moved to the UK, has become well known in the UK, and has now taken the next step and launched last week, I believe, in France. And you've come over from Silicon Valley, moved back to France to head that up. What is the significance of a tech company which is doing very well in London now moving over to Paris?
WiredScore certifies buildings for varying degrees of internet connectivity. And we do that with the user experience in mind. And so the significance is that need for occupiers is universal. It is as much French as it is British, as it is American. You know, when William called me in San Francisco and said, I've got this business proposition for you, do you want to come to France? And I started doing some research. You know, Paris is the third biggest office market in the world, right? It's a no-brainer. So it's a universal need from the occupier's perspective, and now all of the landholders, right, recognize it as a universal need as well.
Thank you very much. And Aaron, I'm interested, so we've been talking a bit about, you know, the US, the UK, now France, but in terms of the US, obviously you're very entrenched in what's going on in New York. What differences are you seeing? And I'd imagine that, you know, the American prop tech space is a little bit further ahead than we are over here in the UK. What differences are you seeing between the two?
I would say that what you see here in with the UK environment in particular is enthusiasm in a way from the corporate community that you don't see in the U.S. yet, and maybe necessarily, as there is less venture investment happening here relative to the United States, and there are fewer entrepreneurs so far developing new technologies, I think that you, the heart always wants what it doesn't have, and I think you're seeing additional enthusiasm here around this space in a way that you're not seeing. Brandon and I were talking about it yesterday, that you're not seeing in New York. So I think the UK is really leading the charge right now from an enthusiasm perspective from the community. And I think one thing that we really need to make sure we're doing is having enough capital to invest in the next generation of technologies, particularly out of London, UK, and greater Western Europe, in order to continue to facilitate this enthusiasm to make sure that this isn't just a balloon that's going to pop.
I mean, that's quite interesting, a balloon that's going to pop. Do you think that's likely?
I think it's unsustainable enthusiasm right now relative to the amount of venture investment available here and to the number of new startups that are getting funded and that should get funded. However, I think everything will equalize over time, and we feel very strongly that London in particular is one of the few markets that can justify a heavy level of enthusiasm along with a heavy level of investment and a heavy level of innovation from entrepreneurs.
Rachel, would you agree with that point about the enthusiasm and the need for more capital to actually bolster it and to see results?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, from my point of view, the real estate industry is really, you know, the most traditional one. And it is very slow to change, but the change is here. And we absolutely should embrace it and leverage it for bringing value to investors or any people who are interested in real estate and getting more of it. And I think this is what the technology is all about, bringing more value to real estate professionals.
Thank you very much. Brandon, I mean, it's sort of a similar question around the balloon, but more around, there's been some talk this week about this opposite ends of the spectrum. On one hand, it's so exciting that this year seems to have been the year at MIPIM where PropTech has really taken a bit of a center stage. But then also there is this slight worry around hype around PropTech. Do you think that that's justified? Do you think we are in a bit of a hyped up environment?
I think what I find as a New York-based company that now has a significant presence in London and growing across Europe, I think there's the imagination has effectively been captured by PropTech in the UK, and I think that we, in order to support it and to support the UK-based PropTech companies, we do need to see some significant investment. I think actually we're probably underestimating, not overestimating, the dramatic effect technology is going to have on how we build properties, how we manage our leasing and asset businesses, and how we create a tenant experience. I think we're actually dramatically underestimating the impact that it's going to have on us over the next 5 years. So I don't think there's overhype. I think there's probably right now we're kind of at this interesting moment where it's captured the imagination, and I think over the next 12 months we've got to see major institutional owners driving significant competitive advantage and major agencies driving significant competitive advantage using this technology or using any one of the things that we would consider kind of prop tech under that broad umbrella. And yeah, that's kind of where we're focused. We're focused on just the basics. Institutional investors understand ROI, and we speak ROI to them. We speak days on market, net effective rent. We speak reducing risk in your portfolio. And those are concepts that every smart institutional investor understands, and they buy based on those concepts, whether it's property or technology. I actually think in the medium term we're underestimating just how dramatically this, you know, the category of software we're building is going to impact the industry overall.
Thank you, Aaron. You look like you have something to say.
I would challenge owners, managers, brokerage firms, agents, construction companies, architecture firms, all what we call the large corporates in the enterprise space. I would challenge the CEOs of all of these companies today to ask them, what is your plan for engaging with next generation property technology? Tell me what your plan is. And the ones who don't have an answer, I would short their stock right now.
What was that?
The ones who don't have a good answer, I would short their stock right now. We're beyond the place where the CEOs need to get it or not get it, right? Everybody gets it now. The question is, are you engaging? What's your plan to engage? Are you building a platform? Are you building an ecosystem? How are you piloting and testing the newest technologies? The CEOs who can't answer that question today are increasingly in trouble over the next 12 to 24 months.
So sort of, you know, the ship has sailed to get it. Eddie.
Look, if people looking at what Brandon did last year with his VTS and Hightower merger don't look at a deal of that magnitude and think something's happening here, they don't look at the things that Aaron does all over the world with startup competitions and profile and dozens of investment. If they don't know that something's happening in technology now, then that's now their problem. I think it's not about hype anymore. That ship has sailed, quite rightly. And now I think we're in a period of, we're going to do a load of cool stuff, and the people that are on board with us are going to really benefit from it.
And tomorrow, in terms of what you're seeing, having moved from Silicon Valley, you know, arguably, you know, the mecca for this kind of thing, to Paris, do you think that knowledge and that understanding is traveling and is spreading out to Europe?
So I think it is. You know, having lived in Silicon Valley, there's always talk about the next bubble, right? And are we living a bubble right now, right, in the startup world? And the truth is that property is a, you know, massive industry, a very exciting market. It is shocking to me that it took so long for prop tech to become a big thing. Obviously, it's a big thing. And obviously, there are also a lot of silly companies in prop tech, because whenever you have, you know, a huge market and a startup bubble, right, or not a bubble, right, but actually just a lot of startups, you have some companies that deliver tons of value and some that are not good businesses. But one thing I will say for real estate professionals in France, but also in the UK and in the US, these are very sophisticated investors, right? And they're going to make good decisions about the technology that they incorporate into their businesses.
Rachel, would you agree with that point? And also, I do like the phrase silly companies.
Yeah, well, I want to continue the point about sophisticated investors and investors who leverage the information for making strategic decisions. And I think this is exactly the point where you can embrace technology to cut through the noise, because we are so much overwhelmed with the information that all around us. And we really need sophisticated and artificial intelligence tools to help us cut through the noise and get only the relevant information out of that. So sophisticated investors could use it to get a better and educated decisions on their, you know, way.
Oh, Eddie, yeah?
Yeah, Emily, I just want to come back to something that Aaron mentioned about shorting the stocks of CEOs that aren't on board. A case study in point in the UK, Countrywide PLC, share price tanked from 680p to, I think, 160p in the past 12 months or so, during which time they've been undergoing a transformation led by digital. I think that we, as people that are interested in prop tech and founders, need to appreciate that taking that kind of step in a business is enormously risky, and even the ones that do it are being shorted by the markets. It's not just a reaction to inaction, if you like, around technology. So important for us to be cognizant of the risks and the mindset of those institutional companies.
Brennan.
Yeah, actually, just a point on that. I think what we're seeing with some of our largest clients is the first thing that a major, you know, whether it's multinational or national owner or one of the top five brokerage firms needs to really do is they kind of need to retool their organization, or at least bring in talent and DNA into the organization that kind of understands what it means to create a digital strategy. A digital strategy is a buzzword. It's really around how do I bring technology into my organization in a way that makes every agent that works at that organization 20% more effective, or helps us reduce portfolio risk across our leasing business. And you're starting to see some really interesting moves where CBRE, the world's largest commercial real estate services firm, now has a CTO. And the first chief technology officer into a major brokerage firm, her name's Chandra, she's wonderful, and she has a broad mandate to not like get new laptops and, you know, make sure the Wi-Fi works really well. She has a mandate to weave together all of the unique assets that CBRE has as an organization, which is massive scale of data, massive geographic scale, and then a bunch of different technologies that sit inside of there. And one of the first moves they made after she started is they bought a technology company. They bought a prop tech company called Florid, which is doing real-time 3D visualizations of space. And they're going to use it in every single listing pitch that they have as a differentiator against the Jones Langs, against the Savills, et cetera. And that is like one example where step one was let's retool the organization. Step two, let's start to pull together a strategy. And you know, one of the outcomes was that they're bringing technology kind of deep into the organization. So we're spending time with some of the largest owners here. A lot of the conversation is actually not specifically just, okay, features and functions around BTS. It's just like, how do we actually organizationally get behind initiatives to properly roll out digital or technology strategy, which is pretty compelling to me.
So it sounds like there are, you know, some companies that are a few steps ahead in terms of the way that they're operating. And there was going to be a question today around how do you convert the tech skeptics? And I wonder whether the question should actually be, is there any time left to convert the tech skeptics? Is it just, you know, people who are on board, great. Anyone else? It's a bit late in the day. Aaron?
Yeah, well, Brandon's doing his part and kind of, in a way, carrying the entire industry in some ways on his shoulders for what VTS is doing, showing real ROI for owners, developers, and managers through prop tech technologies and building great companies led by great teams. I have to say that that's something we reference all the time in real life, day-to-day work. We spend a lot of time doing ideation and innovation workshops with C-level executives, with next-generation teams within large brokerage firms, owners, and developers. Spend a lot of time doing market scans for these same corporates. So I think there are plenty of ways that organizations can engage in this next generation and help move their people along, but they need frequent, regular access. It needs to be, as Brandon says, part of the DNA. And changing that DNA, you have to actually put resources into organizational change. A couple of things that we're seeing trend-wise that may be interesting to everyone. A lot of the larger organizations, particularly that have engineering as a core competency, if you think of structural engineers, you think of construction firms, you think of architectural firms, are appointing someone to lead innovation in a real way for the first time. Right? And that's really a phenomenon we've seen over the last 12 months, is those people who are leading innovation are in our language, the quarterback, the point person, the fulcrum around which some of this innovation is driven. Those people are taking first steps to organizational change, and a lot of that has to do with promoting internal innovation, doing startup competitions or idea competitions within their organizations, just internally. Even if it has no commercial impact directly, it's starting to evolve the DNA. It's starting to change the topics of conversation internally, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that. Again, if you're not doing that kind of stuff, actually doing, and you don't have a plan to execute, short your stock right now.
Well, you told them. We've got about 10 minutes left. Are there any questions from the audience? Yes, there's one that there's a microphone just behind you.
Is PropTech making the role of a traditional agent easier?
If it's not, it should be. I mean, I'll give you a point of view. Like some prop tech is. What VTS is focused on is building tools that make owners and agents more effective at what they do. So there's just so much low-hanging fruit on that tree, from put your business on your mobile device to make it easier to match my inventory to the requirements that are out in the market. So we as a company are kind of on a mission to do that. And I think that like there's going to be a lot of companies that actually build solutions directly for the agent. And I think that's a good thing.
Eddie.
Can I give you a two-part answer to the question? First part is, to echo Brandon, yes, right now there are so many tools out there to make life easier for agents. The agents that embrace those tools for the next 3 to 5 years will create competitive advantage for themselves, because the prop tech wave, I suppose, that we're talking about now is almost all about working with the current property value chain. True technological disruption comes when value chains get attacked. And when that happens, if you don't have some competitive advantage as an agent or any other participant in the market, your livelihood will be under threat.
Thank you very much. Rachel, do you want to come in on that?
I just want to continue what Eddie said. I think that at the first point, you absolutely have an advantage of using technology, but a few years from now, you will have a total disadvantage of not using one. So this is where we go.
Aaron?
Yeah, just quickly. As investors in the space, we have a two-pronged approach to this. We actually believe and see the tools that are helping the practitioners in their day-to-day work. And I firmly believe you're absolutely right that the best practitioners will be engaging and using this over time, and those who don't will fall by the wayside. I think that's natural Darwinian approach. But we also invest in the moonshots and the things that are going to entirely disrupt what agents are doing today. And some of our partners are the biggest supporters of agents in the whole world. Zillow is one of our main partners, Warburg Realty, which is a large letting agent and sales agent in the United States. And they want to see that stuff before it comes to them so that they can work, impact, be around it, and influence it so that it doesn't just pass them by. So it's a two-pronged approach. Things that are going to help the practitioners and things that are going to entirely disrupt them.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Yes, there's one here. Do we have a microphone? Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thanks for the panel so far. In one sentence, what's the most exciting thing you're seeing in prop tech right now?
It's a very good question, probably one I should have asked myself. Who wants to start? Brandon.
I think that the most selfishly, like from my point of view, the most exciting thing is we're starting to see the actual fruits of our labor around applying machine learning and data science to the broad data set that we've got representing 5.5 billion square feet on the platform. So that to us is the tipping point for the ownership community really getting behind kind of a data-driven commercial real estate business. That's a very selfish answer, but that's what I'm excited.
Tamara.
I would say that it is the platforms that enable bulk breaking for leases. So I don't think it makes any sense anymore for businesses to have to sign on, whether they're retail businesses, commercial offices, to have to sign on for, in France, it's a standard 9-year lease, right, for commercial office space. So all the platforms that enable bulk breaking, so Airbnb, right, or on the resi side, you have Breather, right, on the office side, and I'm sure there is one out there, I don't know it, but retail, it's a no-brainer.
Thank you very much. Eddie.
I might just sound a bit jaded, but I'm not really massively excited by any of the businesses that I see making any great traction right now. The excitement will come when the second wave of proper disruption, the moonshots, start to really make a big difference. In the meantime, I keep myself calm and comforted by finding the wardrobe advice of Magnus Fantegard at Dacia as the most most exciting thing in prop tech.
That is damning for prop tech. Aaron, can you save it a little bit? Bring it back.
Ditto. I look at it as from an investor's perspective in many ways. I really am excited that over the last 18, 24 months, you're seeing organizations like Blackstone, who was an early investor in VTS, or Brookfield, which just got involved heavily in an investment in Convene, starting to deploy capital into some exciting prop tech related organizations and things that are likely to be winners. I think that idea that money is going where the head has been is a leading indicator of success, not just for the corporates, but for the next generation of prop tech entrepreneurs who need capital from these strategics, who can actually grow their businesses faster from them. It's really thrilling to think that if this is going to continue, that there will be more capital available for the best ideas and the best entrepreneurs. Very exciting time right now.
Thank you very much. And Rachel.
Hi. So for me, the most exciting thing is really using the technology that's been embraced in financial industry to the real estate industry, helping people to see the real estate global markets on a different view and shorting the distance between the local market and the global markets. To reveal the trends and opening new opportunities for global investors, just the same way we can do it for financial market, doing something similar in the real estate market. This is really exciting for me.
Thank you very much. So one final question from me, unless there are any burning questions. No. So final question from me. Brandon, I think you tweeted, earlier, actually, that, you know, it's exciting that prop tech is so on the map this year, and it's kind of just a, almost like a rumor last year at MIPIM. So what, in an ideal world, will we be saying this time next year at MIPIM?
Ideally, this panel would not include any one of us. It would include the heads of state at the major agency, brokerage firms, and ownership firms talking and sharing stories of, here's how we deployed X to solve these three problems, and here's why we're now leading the charge on essentially this transformation to a digital world. That's what's most interesting. This actually gets quite boring when you hear the echo chamber of technology companies talking about why technology is so cool. It's actually much more interesting when you hear Blackstone and Brookfield and CBRE say, we're fundamentally transforming the way that we do our work or the way that our clients engage with us, and we're going to kick all of your asses who aren't doing it, and but let's walk through it. That's actually just a really interesting story. So that's what I hope happens next year.
So if you see any of these people on a panel next year, you'll know that we've completely
failed. Yeah, exactly.
Tomorrow.
I would just build off of what Brandon says. One of my favorite agents in France runs JLL, and she has this super cool virtual visit room where you can see all the Wired certified buildings in Paris. And I would love to see her up here actually employing all this technology and giving us all a virtual visit. Right?
Great, thank you very much. Eddie.
I'd like to make sure that this time next year, the show is full of the CTO types that Brandon mentions in the audience, coming here to actually experience new technology, find opportunities, and buy some product from prop tech businesses.
Aaron.
I have to plug New York City Real Estate Tech Week that's coming up in October and the MIPIM Prop Tech Summit that will be entirely focused on property technology. I think a lot of what we'll be talking about here at the main MIPIM conference for the broader audience are a lot of those new cutting edge technologies that we will see in New York in October and helping them get implementation beyond the United States into Western Europe, into Central Europe, into Eastern Europe, and increasingly into Asia.
And Rachel.
I couldn't agree more about what was being said before it. And I think it's not only about big real estate companies and service providing embracing prop tech and innovation, but also merging with other big companies that like RCA or other CoStar, bringing them additional value into innovative.
Thank you very much. We're out of time. Can I ask you all to thank our panelists, particularly as this might be the last time you ever see them on a panel here at MIPIM.